Praise Offering Church. Amen. You guys can have your seats. How awesome is it that God would give me the name of the situation that He is going through? Amen. And it is a very serious situation that God is going to heal his heart from. Where did I have a cloth or something? Hey, you guys are not serving me now. Come on. I must fire you. I need a little bit of humor in the church or some laugh or some, I don't know. I'm just joking when I talk like that. Thanks. Oh. Where's my cloths? Huh? Don't worry, I talk like that to my people because we're just real. And when I'm under the anointing, then I'm not Leon. Is that okay? So they understand that they've been with me for years, so don't feel sorry for them. You know, people after the church, I've been through my church life. People after the church, they will come to me like, oh, Chris, you know, how do you bear with Leon talking to you like that? That's the voice of the devil. That, and then, where am I? Okay. Are you guys all here? Are you guys happy to be here? Are you guys happy to be in church? Amen. I will do my best as your pastor to give you a good word. In the evenings, we operate in the prophetic and etc. In the mornings, it is crucial to get word. And listen to me. It is. You need both the word and the power of God, which means that if you have only the word, you dry up. When you have a church where there is not devils being cast out, does not have the kingdom of God. I'm going to say it again. A church that does not have devils being cast out, does not have the kingdom of God. Jesus says, if I cast out devils by the finger of God, you will know that the kingdom of God has come upon you. How do you know that the kingdom of God is in your midst? I will begin to cast out devils by the finger of God, Jesus said. So when deliverance is lacking in a church, it means that the kingdom is lacking. It's one of the first signs Jesus says. He says, I give you power to go and cast out devils. In the book of Mark, chapter number 16, he says, I give you, go lay hands and cast out devils. One of the first signs was to cast out devils. One of the first things that Jesus did, that Jesus brought in, devils were never being cast out in the Old Testament. They were only subdued at a certain time. But when Jesus came onto the scene, he introduced the ministry of deliverance. I don't know why I'm going on that. I'm just saying that the word only will cause us to dry up and become dead. But if we have both the word and the power of God, you have people that's coming on the evenings that won't come in the morning because they think the morning is boring. But the problem is they're lacking out on the most biggest secrets of their lives. Listen to me. This Bible, if I only known 10 years ago, 15 years ago, how important this word is, I would have fasted less and read the word more, if I can say that with all honesty. I fasted many, I don't know how many 21-day water fasts I've done. I read the word, but I would have memorized it if I understood the power in the word at that time, but I didn't. I had a 40-day water fast. I was really thin at some time. But why the word is important, let me just share with you one or two things, you know, before we get into the notes. And I don't like to stick to the notes. What I mean by that is that I kind of like minister from my spirit when I will teach you. But the notes is there for you to just to go through it and to take it home. And I'll go through the notes, but I'll be ministering from my spirit. So I also want to go to a scripture. I just want to show you something. The Bible says that, listen here, in physics, everything around you, the chair that you're sitting on, is molecules and atoms. And there's three laws that governs the law of physics. It is that governs this natural world, which is time, space, and matter. Can you say with me, time, space, and matter? Now, I like physics and so on, so you're going to learn that here. Say it again. Say time, space, and matter. That's how Jesus could walk on the water. That's how he could walk through a wall, because he came from another dimension. Are you guys with me? The Bible says we will go from glory to glory, one dimension into another dimension. If I speak about spiritual dimensions, we'll get into that much later as the people mature. There are certain dimensions we can enter into. When I pray, I go beyond this third dimension we enter into. When I fast, when I'm in the presence of God, when I'm taken into a vision or I'm beginning to see stuff, I go beyond the law of physics. And I can go beyond the law of physics And that is when you pray and you're taken into heaven, or you're seeing a name, or you're hearing this word. How does God give me the name of a situation that is happening with this young man that was just here right now, who has a ministry and a call of God in his life? And that is going beyond the law of time, space, and matter. And I'm not a Facebook prophet. There's many Facebook prophets. When the anointing comes into this place, to this morning, there's an anointing for teaching. This morning, there's an anointing for revelation. And tonight, there'll be anointing for prophetic, for the supernatural, and how we do as we do on a Sunday night. That's why we start at 5 o'clock. So you're more than welcome to come. That's where we're also going to pray testimonies. There'll be miracles, there'll be healings, and etc. But I want to just share with you a verse here before I get into the message. Go with me to Psalms. Just put it on the screen for me, Lord. Psalms 119. Psalm 119, verse number 130, going to the next one. So you can just have that ready on the screen. I don't know why it's fading there. You can maybe just check that out. So let me just say this. The Word of God, everything we sit on consists of time, space, and matter. Are you guys with me? Time, space. The third dimension is controlled through time, space, and matter. Scientists will tell you, once you supersede and you go to the fourth dimension, and there is a fourth dimension, scientists will tell you that once you go into a fourth dimension, you bypass the laws of time, space, and matter. For example, if I bend time, what takes me 10 minutes to go from this end to this end on this paper, if I bend the law of physics, it'll take me a split second to go through from point A to point B. Just one example, for example, how the fourth dimension works. I can use many other examples. And I can explain to you how visitations work and so on of God. Give me a paper. Do you guys have a paper that I can like fumble up? That I can like, you know. Let me show something, huh? Can I like, okay. Let me try something. I want to show you something. Just so that you can get an idea. Chris, tear this for me in a long piece, like a piece off like that. Just so that you can get an idea and understand of what I'm saying when it comes to this. Because I will explain to you through this how important this word is and why we teach on a Sunday morning, you know. And roll it up for me like in a thingy, in a ball. No, like a straight but roll, like this. Chris was not, it's not, he hasn't been to school when he was young. He just knows how to make money. That's all that counts. Okay, so now, let me do this. Let me show you. Okay. Now, these are the things I read and study when I'm bored. But if I ask you now, if you don't know that this was a long piece of paper, and I just show you like this, if I show you like this, and I ask you, how many pieces of paper do you see? Two, okay? But I say, now, how many pieces of paper do you see? Very simple. One. Okay. Not too complicated. Okay. But you can now see from this side that it is going through. That's the fourth dimension. So every way you look, it looks different. And you know, maybe some don't find that exciting. But anyway, that's why there's certain visions and stuff when angels come into the atmosphere. Anyway, the fourth dimension, when it comes in, is the law of, you call it the law of splitting, the law of cutting, I believe it is, and it's because you only see a part, and if you move from this side, you see a different part. It's different dimension. So what happens is, for us to break through from the third dimension to the fourth dimension, time, space, and matter. Jesus walked on the water. The molecular density of the water changed, and so that he could walk on it, because he came from another kingdom that's higher, the fourth dimension, and he said that we shall do greater works than him. Come on, are you guys with me? I'm not saying go walk on water now, but what I'm saying is, that's the Bible. We have the ability to manipulate time, space, and matter. How does debt get canceled? How does a miracle happen? Time, space, and matter is eliminated immediately. Now you get a thing called time, space continuum and quantum coherence, which means that time, space, and matter must work together all the time. I'm not going to get into that. But there's one thing that changes time, space, and matter. Scientists will tell you, and physics. They'll tell you that light is the only thing that changes time, space, and matter. The intensity of a light. That's why you can take a laser, and as you make it hotter, it'll go through a piece of wood. Because it's concentrated light. Are you guys with me? It's focused light. Now, the more light, they say, this is scientists in one of the top physics books in the world, say this. that light, the more light can control, the more light one has controls, can control more time, space, and matter, has more power over time, space, and matter. So that said something to me, because Jesus says, listen here, we are the light of the world. So I began to think, so I said, God, how do we get light? How do we get more light? And in my early years, I thought it was by praying and praying only. And I made this foolish decision when I, not by saying, but I would have spent more time in the Word and prayer together, and not so much in prayer and a little bit in the Word, because I never read this scripture. Listen to this. So how do we carry more light? How do we do miracles? How do I, when I go to somebody and we would, or we go to a hospital, we pray for somebody, or we'd see a knee healed as we had the other day, and somebody's knee that is cracked or broken, and they take, why? Because there's light that manipulates the situation. God's light. Are you guys with me? I'm not speaking funny things here. God's light. And how do we get that light in us to begin to manipulate time, space, and matter? Please understand that the Bible says that the locusts have come to eat and taken away your years. It doesn't say your harvest. It says your years, your time. The enemy works on time. So listen to this. The entrance, Psalm, it's up there. The entrance, everybody say with me, the entrance of thy words giveth light, and it giveth understanding to the simple. I'm going to say it again. The entrance of thy word giveth light. So now I thought, okay, the word of God is the light. So the more I read this Bible, I'm going to get more light. Yet it was not true, because I didn't look at the word entrance. The word entrance means to open up, to reveal, and it is similar to the word apocalypto, which is revelation in the New Testament, which means that the opening up of my word, the revelation of my word, the entrance of my word gives more light, which means that I can read this Bible dead, and I can read it, and I can read it. I can sit in a church and it's preached dead. It's Logos word, it'll bring death. But when there's revelation, what is revelation? It makes something jump on the inside of you. It's like when somebody, like when I was studying that financial stuff earlier, as I said on time, in our offering time, it makes my spirit jump. It's like, I've never seen that. When I read something in the word, it makes my spirit jump. When I preach the word to you, my goal is to make it get into your spirit and your spirit to come alive. That is revelation. The more you get of that is the more time, space, and matter you can change. Then you get different levels of revelation and the voice of God and rhema, word of God. You can have a vision speaking to you. You can have God himself speaking to you audibly. You can have, usually prophets will have that. They'll have God speaking to them audibly, a voice. Or the angels will come and speak to them. That's another realm of rhema, which means when you hear that, for example, if an angel says to you, you are a prophet. Or if an angel says to me, Leon, plant a church now in Centurion. That gives me so much light that we don't even have to struggle to plant this church. Time, space, and matter is changed, but it comes by the word of God. Now, how do I get revelation? It is by getting into this word, then the Holy Spirit can bring it to remembrance and bring revelation. Amen. When it's revelation, listen, revelation changes a person. I'm going to say it again. Revelation changes a person. Now, just to end this thing off and to get a better response out of people for all my future sermons, 131. Go for it to the next verse. It says, I opened my mouth. Can anybody say with me, I opened my mouth? It's in context with the entrance of thy word, which means that you can now get the word and you can get the revelation. But unless you open your mouth and you say what you believe or what you hear, you say what you see, or you say what is jumping on the inside of you, or you say amen or hallelujah or I receive it or whatever it is. But when you open your mouth, it is so, there's more light coming in. So the entrance of the word gives light. Then King David says, I opened my mouth and I panted and I longed for your word. Come on, are you guys with me? Amen. So that is how it is. Then I can get into the thoughts of God and the thoughts of man and how we must speak the word back to God, because God says, my word will not return to me void. What it means is it will return to him, but not empty. So it will return to him. We think, no, it's not going to return to me. It'll go and fulfill what it's all sent to do. No. He says, it will not return to me void, which means that it must return to me empty. How do we do it? In the context of that scripture, by speaking it back to him. When we speak God's word back to him, when I go through a financial crisis, or I go through a ministry crisis, or a relationship crisis, or things are going as bad as hell, but I have a prophetic word on the inside of me, I have a promise of God on the inside of me, it is there where I begin to speak think the word all the time. Listen, this is where I began. I sold my car at the beginning of this year. We gave everything away. I said to somebody yesterday, the day before, so I said, I'm going to begin to speak and say all the time what I believe I have. Not that I can go buy a car if I want, probably, but God told us to sow that. But I'm going to speak because there's a way that God says. He says, listen here, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, shall have whatever he says. So it is the whoever will have the whatever he says. That's it. Your words, your mouth has the ability to create. When Adam named the animals, he created the animals. If you go read in your Bible in the Hebrew, he spoke them into existence, and God, and so it was. God gave him creative ability, creative power in his words. Amen. So, because that's the extension of God's creative power in us, because he gave us dominion on this earth. But anyway, so that's why we're teaching on a Sunday morning. Is that okay? So that was my whole thing, because teaching is very important. Today we start with part one, how to know the will of God. And I won't be long on this, but I need my phone or watch or something. I'll be finished by 11 so that we can, and then tonight, you know, we just flow and so on. But say to me the will of God. If you open your notes there, I want to read the scripture there. This is part one. I'm going to concentrate on the perfect and imperfect will of God. Many people, I don't understand the will of God. The most Googled question about Christianity is, what is the will of God? That is proven by statistics. If I ask somebody, what is the will of God? If I ask 99% of people here, what's the will of God for your life? You'll be like, I don't know. So you have to know after this series, okay? Are you guys with me? Listen here, the perfect will of God is that you get the permissive will and the perfect will. But for English sake and to make it simple, I'm going to use the word imperfect will and perfect will. What it means, the imperfect will, it is still God's will. It is just not his perfect will. Are you guys with me? Sometimes God allows people to go into a time and an area of their lives because they are rebellious or they don't listen to his voice, and they move into a permissive will, an imperfect will of his of their lives, but it's not his perfect will. And I want us to read Romans 12 verse 2. You don't have to put the scriptures on now, Lloyd. The guys have the notes. Thanks. Romans 12 verse 2 says that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Say with me, perfect will of God. I'm not going to get into good and acceptable because there's many schools of thoughts on it, but the scholars all agree that there is a perfect and imperfect, a perfect and a permissive will of God right throughout the scripture, from the Old Testament to the New Testament. So the permissive will, as I said, I'm not going to go through all those points, all those wording there, but the perfect will is simply God allowing people, the imperfect will. God is just allowing them, he's tolerating them, and he's allowing them to go there, but it's not his perfect will, because man has a free will. Are you guys with me? But it is our job to find out what is the perfect will of God for our lives. It is my, listen, the Apostle Paul asked two things when he had an encounter on the road of Damascus. He says, who are you, Lord, and what do you want me to do? I'm going to say it again. He said, who are you, Lord? And what do you want me to do? Two very important questions. Number one, he first said, I want a revelation of who you are. Then I want to know who I am. Who have you called me to be? Who am I? What is my purpose on this earth? What am I to do on this earth? The greatest life you can live is living a life of purpose. Come on, guys, with me. The greatest life, listen, I was watching somebody, and this is not to be harsh on anybody, but a friend that I knew that passed away this week, and my heart just broke because I knew there was no salvation, and I understand hell and those things, and I don't do funerals. Okay, you want me to come do a funeral? I don't do funerals. Some of the guys here will do the funeral. I'll think about it. I'm not doing a funeral of somebody that's not saved. I refuse. I've never in my life done it. What do you say to the people? What do you say? There's no hope. Huh? Like, dude, there's no hope. I know when somebody goes to hell, that's full of demons. But I've done funerals when people are saved, but Jesus didn't do funerals. But okay, just don't get offended. This is a pastor who's going to do funerals. No, go still do your funeral. It might just be a celebration and not a funeral. Amen. Because we do celebrate. Because they've graduated to the next life. I don't cry when people die. I didn't cry when my own father died. Because he graduated onto another life. That's it. As simple as that. God told me before he died, that 2 hours before he died, God's meaning he's going to die. And my mom phoned me and I said, yes. I said, yeah, there she sits. Is that right? You phoned me and then, two hours later, I knew. I sent to Pastor Mark. He said, I don't prophesy, I do this. God said to me, listen, when your time is up, your time is up. There's a time to die and a time to live and a time to die. There's no question about it. It's not, yes, the enemy comes and takes it. But your time is up. Many people try to use that to question God and to your time is up. But an hour before that, God already began to prepare me and said to me, half an hour, so I'm not sure, but he's not going to make it. He's going to pass away. And that's it. And I cried 3 days after the funeral just to mourn, because you have to mourn. And I did the own funeral. But there were some people there. I mean, there was one dear old lady. I can't even remember her name, but she cried and looked so depressed. And I was like, and I'm smiling because I was not going to preach the funeral, sir. And I'm trying to think, was that an altar call or not? There's a lot of people. And she looks at me like, yes, she was angry. I was like, what's wrong? She said to me, aren't you upset? I said, no, why? She says, but your dad died. And I'm like, I said, who are you? And she said to me something, and I like remember like many years back, and I'm like, you're more depressed about my own father who died than me, who are not. That is how unsaved people are. They have no hope. They have no eternal hope. When somebody's dead, they are dead. Are you guys with me? They have no hope where that person is going. But how many of you know that with us, that Christ, when he was raised from the dead, the grave could not hold him. Come on, you guys, with me. Death could not hold him down. The grave could not hold him, could not keep him. When he got into there, he took the keys of death, hell, and the grave, and he raised himself from the dead. He wasn't killed. He wasn't murdered. He said to Pontius Pilate, he said, listen here, I alone have the power to lay my life down, and I alone have the power to take my life up back again. Which means that Pontius, my life is not in your hands. We as Christians must understand, listen here, my life is not in somebody else's hands. If a murderer or somebody comes into my house, my life is not in their hands. As long as I have the Holy Ghost, life is in me. Jesus said, when he said, Father, I receive my spirit, and the Bible says that the ghost left him. The Holy Spirit left him. When the Holy Spirit leaves you, you're dead. Are you guys with me? So yeah, I said to this lady, but you're crying and more depressed about, they just don't know eternity. I know eternity. And you better know it as well, so that we understand that funerals is not of God, man. Celebrations is. We call it a celebration of life. If you want to have a funeral, you can go to the, it's around the corner or somewhere. Okay, it's a celebration of life, that somebody has graduated, going on to the Lord. Amen. And we have people, we know how to counsel people in that, and do we know how to help families. Let's go there on the page one, the perfect will of God. I just want to read for you through those points. The perfect will of God. This is the place where God really wants us to be. We please God when we live in this place and God gets excited. In the perfect will of God, there's full provision for the vision he has given you. Where God guides, he provides. How many ministers have I seen? They say, God has called me to do this, but they don't have a cent to do it. There's no backing from God. Are you guys with me? When God called me, he employed me. God looks after me. That's it. And no man looks after me. When I say no man, I don't submit to a salary somewhere. No, you know, man, if those who are supposed to give to me don't give, God will even get my enemies to give to me because I'm employed by him. But some preachers are fired. They just don't know it yet. God is the only God that is a boss that will fire you and allow you to still work for him with no pay. Because some preachers are preaching, but they've been fired long ago. They're just not being paid. Amen. So in the perfect will of God, there'll be full provision. Number three, in this place, we are excellently positioned in the perfect will of God. Not this place, I'm speaking of. And let me just tell you, this place, yes, the church, is the perfect corporate will. Now, I'll go into the next series about what it is. I'm going to explain to the next how to get into the perfect will. But there's a corporate will and there's a personal will. In order for me to get in the personal will of God for my life, I need to submit into a corporate will. I need to find a place, a church, and know this church is of God. This church is of God. This church, like I told you, it's not a thought, it's not a business idea, it's not a career. Anybody wants to do church for business anyway, stupid. So it's not that, it's an angel that has spoken to me. It's God. This is the corporate will of God. And in this place, when I mean this place, in the perfect will of God, you're excellently positioned in the original plan of God for our lives. This is where the four P's comes into play. And please forgive the spelling. Lloyd here was supposed to change it. He promised me, he said he's going to go through all my notes and do the spelling. And then even this little last page that he typed was worse spelling than me. So it will be sorted from next week. And he'll be castrated. Otherwise, he'll be castrated. I'm just joking. I'm just doing that to make you relax and calm down. I'm just joking. But there's some spelling mistakes. So listen here. This is one thing that I use personally. There are four P's that comes into play in the perfect will of God that you can use as a guidance to determine whether you are in God's will or not. That is provision, progress, protection, and peace. Can everybody say with me? Say with me, provision. Say with me, progress, protection, and peace.